Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we pray now as we turn to your word that you will speak to us. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to us. Give us hearts that are obedient. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The moment of truth. Yes, we can see. I wonder, have you ever had the experience of living through a truly violent storm? One that really is bad enough to terrify you? Well, I'm old enough to remember back to 1961 when we had a hurricane called Hurricane Debbie, and it almost devastated the landscape. Now, I remember that very vividly because at that time we lived out in the country. And our house was down in a hollow. And on one side of us, entire ground, was the road. And on the other side was a sloping ground covered with quite large trees, which we used to call the glen. And in that glen, beside the stream, there was a huge beech tree. Now, I had three brothers and a sister, and when we were small children, we used to play a little game. We used to try to link hands and see if we could form a circle around the base of that tree, but we were never big enough to manage it. And that huge beech tree, strong as it was, didn't survive Hurricane Debbie. It fell to the ground and kept us supplied with firewood for the next 4 years. But I've also another vivid memory of that storm. I can remember standing outside our house and watching quite large branches of trees being blown over the roof of our house. And I remember my mother coming out, bringing us all in, because she was frightened that we would be hit by one of those trees. I also have a memory of about 40 years ago of going to Norway and coming back in the ferry out of Bergen. And we came out into the North Sea and we experienced rough seas, the like of which I've never seen, but the ferry was determined to go. And so we ploughed through these rough seas. It was so rough that you couldn't actually stand up. But as we sailed out, we could see a little fishing boat, and it was making its way into the harbour at Bergen. Then one minute would be in the crest of a huge wave, then it would disappear down into the trough, and we would wonder, will it ever come up again, or will it go down and stay down? But miraculously, it always seemed to reappear. As far as I know, it reached safety. But I wonder, is that the kind of rough sea that's in our story today? Was this the sort of situation that was meeting the disciples as they sailed across the Sea of Galilee? Because as they were sailing across, a sudden storm blew up and the waves threatened to swamp the boat. Now, I think to help us understand the background here, we need a little geography lesson. The Sea of Galilee is about 600 to 700 feet below sea level and is surrounded by the Galilean hills. And the peculiar feature of that area is that cold winds will blow down from the hills down to the Sea of Galilee, and there they will mix with the hot air that's at sea level or 600 feet below sea level. And the result of that mixture is that sudden violent storms will blow up. There'll be no warning. They will come very suddenly. And so we come to this story of Jesus calming the storm. Now, Jesus had been busy. He'd been busy preaching and teaching. Luke doesn't tell us exactly when this event occurred. But if we look at Mark's account of this story, we see that it happened on the evening of the day when Jesus told the parable of the sower. Jesus presumably wanted to rest, and so he said to the disciples, let's go over to the other shore. And then we're told that Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and suddenly this storm blew up. The disciples were terrified. They thought the boat was going to be swamped by the waves. Now, the storm must have been a very violent one, because we know that at least four of the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were all fishermen, and they fished in the Sea of Galilee. So you'd have thought that they would have had some knowledge of the area. They would have experienced storms before. They'd have been familiar with them. However, this storm was sufficiently violent to alarm them sufficiently to go and to wake up Jesus and to say to him, "Lord, we're going to drown." And Jesus, we're told, rebuked the wind and the waves, and immediately he did so, there was calm. Now, there's something strange about that, because normally if you get a strong wind and rough seas, if the wind abates, then the sea will gradually calm. But it doesn't calm just like that. But here we're told that all was calm immediately. And the other thing to notice here is that Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. And we ask ourselves, why did he do that? The answer, I believe, is that this was a satanic attack upon Jesus. It was an attack designed to harm Jesus or to disrupt his mission. But I want for a moment to look at the contrast between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples were frightened, terrified, agitated. Jesus, by contrast, was totally calm, totally at ease, totally at peace. In fact, he was so relaxed and so at ease and at peace that he was asleep. So I wonder what caused that. Why was Jesus so calm? Well, the answer is that he had perfect trust in his Father. He knew his Father would protect him and take care of him. Perhaps maybe he reflected on some of the Psalms, and one of the Psalms, Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, says this: "O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When the waves mount up, you still them." But unlike Jesus, the disciples were terrified. So what was their problem? What caused them to be terrified? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in verse 25 when he says to the disciples, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" You see, Jesus had given the disciples both an invitation and a promise. Jesus had said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." That was an invitation. It was an invitation which they accepted and they got into the boat. But there's also a promise there. Perhaps it's not clear at first, but it's there. That promise was that they would actually get to the other side. A promise that they would get to the other side. You see, their faith was sufficient to accept the invitation to get into the boat. But when the going got tough, their faith wavered. Their problem was that their focus was on the storm instead of Jesus. Did they have the faith to look at Jesus sleeping peacefully and realize that all would be well? Mind you, I suspect if we'd been in their position, we probably would have reacted just like them. Someone once said that faith, true faith, is obeying in spite of our feelings and circumstances. You see, the disciples looked around and they saw danger. They looked within their own bodies, their own selves, and they saw fear. The thing they failed to do was to look up and to see God. Warren Wiersbe, the great writer and commentator, tells a little story how a woman came to that great evangelist, D.L. Moody, and said to Mr. Moody, "I found a great promise. It's in Psalm 56, verse 3. It says, 'When I am afraid, I will trust in you.'" And D.L. Moody replied to her and he said, Let me give you a better promise. It's Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You see, perfect trust in Jesus casts out fear. So what is the message for us in this story today? Well, the passage teaches us that when we're hit by the storms of life, then we need to get our focus on Jesus. Being a Christian is not a guarantee that we will not endure difficulties or hard times. Becoming a Christian is not like getting a vaccination, which will protect us from suffering and hard times for all our life. Scripture is full of warnings that a Christian life may involve suffering and hard times. In Luke 9, verse 13, Jesus says this, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And he reinforces that in Luke 14, verse 27, when Jesus says, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Jesus' words are a clear warning that it's not an easy road to follow him, and the path ahead may involve danger, sacrifice, and difficulty. It's not just Jesus who gives us those warnings. In the epistle of 1 Peter, we find a clear indication that Christians may face a difficult time. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." And in chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful things you are suffering." Peter's not alone. The epistle of James also contains similar warnings. In James chapter 1, it says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." The Apostle Paul, of course, faced more difficult times than any one of us ever did. He was shipwrecked, imprisoned, he was whipped, he was deserted by those close to him. But the interesting thing is, Paul always encouraged others. Always encouraged others to put their trust in Jesus. And Paul, of course, had his own problem. He refers in the Bible to his thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. Paul never tells us. But it's clear that we must expect our faith to be tested. Now, I've been a little bit mischievous, I suppose, because I've done something you should never do, and that is give part of a quotation. Because there's more to those quotations in Peter and James than what I read out. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, Peter exhorts us to endure suffering for a little while. But then in verse 7, he goes on to say that these have come so that your faith of greater value than gold, which perishes even when refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. And first, in chapter 4, Peter goes on to say that we should rejoice because Christ's glory will be revealed when we suffer. And James tells us that testing of our faith brings perseverance, which leads to spiritual maturity. So you see, the storms of life may hit us, but they do not necessarily harm us. In fact, very often they are for our good. God brings good out of evil. When we persevere and hold firm, God is honored. We are blessed, and our faith is strengthened. But how do we actually deal with the storms of life? Let's look back to our reading today. the disciples found that their faith wavered. But when it did, they took the right course of action. They turned to Jesus. And there we find the answer. Our difficulties, our hardships, the storms of life that we endure may seem enormous. But you see, when we fix our eyes upon Jesus, then everything gets into perspective. To get back to St. Paul, he asked the Lord three times to take away this thorn in the flesh. But then he records that God didn't take it away, but God told him that his grace would be sufficient for him. That's a promise to Paul, that God's grace would be sufficient. But it's also a promise to us, a promise that enables us to cope with those difficult storms of life. We trust in Jesus, and when we do that, he will see us through. I'm sure of you, some of you will have heard a little poem. It's called Footprints in the Sand. So I'm going to read it to you because I think it says something which is very important. It says this. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. The promise there, isn't it? That God will walk with us, be with us. He'll even carry us when it's necessary. And we find a similar idea in one of the best loved hymns in our hymn book, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, written by a man from Banbridge called Joseph Scriven, who had his fair share, more than his fair share, of pain and suffering. On the night before his wedding, his wife-to-be was out riding her horse when something startled it. She was thrown from the horse, and she was killed. Broken-hearted, he emigrated to Canada, and there he endured even greater heartache. And so he wrote this poem, which is now a hymn, and he sent it to his mother. And the hymn asks, have we trials and temptations? Have we troubles anywhere? He urges us to take it to the Lord in prayer. And the second part of the verse, he tells us, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. An exhortation that when things are getting really hard, when life is really tough, then we turn to Jesus, put our trust in him. I'm going to quote another hymn. Interestingly, I was going to ring and ask if we could have this hymn sung at our service after the sermon today, but I've discovered it already was there. A hymn known as the Boys' Brigade's hymn. And it asks a question. The question is this. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? And the answer comes in the chorus. The chorus says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. You know, sometimes we might find it difficult to remember verses of Scripture. Maybe it's easier to remember verses of hymns. But the words in those hymns and the words of our gospel reading remind us that we have this wonderful truth that if we trust in Jesus, things may be difficult, times may be hard, but Jesus will be with us and we will get through. We will be able to cope with difficult times. It also teaches us that if our lives have been totally surrendered to Jesus, then we will be secure. So I want to leave you with a question this morning. Are you grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love? Will you be secure if difficult times come upon you? The answer, of course, is to trust in Jesus. And if we trust in Him and in Him alone, then our eternal destiny is secured. We can rest secure, safe in the arms of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for that promise that when things in our life get difficult, you are there with us, that you will walk with us, that you'll give us grace to endure and to be secure. Thank you, Father, for your love for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.